at 88.1.
Welcome to the Zion Hill Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydera, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's Z-I-O-N-H-I-L-L.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
Our subject for discussion is titled, The Mercy of God. The Mercy of God. My assignment is to share with you what mercy is all about. And also to share with you how you can obtain the mercy of God. What is mercy? Mercy is God's protection, God's compassion that deliver you and me from judgment and from hardship. Now you can see we need the mercy of God. The market is roller coaster. The government is struggling. Cost and price are rising. You and me need the mercy of God. Mercy is when God gives you and me what we need instead of what we deserve. I can stop there and shout because I don't know about you. I thank God that he looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Somebody shout, thank God for mercy. When I say mercy is God having compassion on us, you need to know what compassion is. Compassion is when somebody have sympathy on you. When somebody pitying you and me. And when somebody is concerned about you and me. The compassion of the Lord kicks in many times when we are suffering, when we are going through a hard time, even when we are dealing with misfortunes. So compassion is the ability to touch somebody else's condition. In other words, you are able to feel their pain. One of the amazing scriptures about the Lord Jesus Christ is found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 15. The Bible says, we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, if you're going through anything this morning, the Lord Jesus feels your pain. I can stop there and shout all day. That keeps me going. Just to know I'm not in the fire by myself. Mercy is when you give a person another chance. Am I the only one that needs another chance? Somebody say God is a God of second chance. But I found out that some of us need more than second chance. We're grateful to God for his mercy. To be merciful is to be compassionate. to those who are suffering, to those who are in distress, to those who are going through a hard time. To be mercy, to be merciful is for someone to show that they care when you are in need. Also, to be merciful is when you see yourself, you deserve punishment, but God gives you a break. Every time you see a man that is producing uncommon results, I can guarantee you the thing behind him or her is the mercy of God. What you are seeing in that person is not his gifts, it's not his talents, it's the mercy of God. I don't know about you, I see the mercy of God in my life every day. The Bible said his mercy is new every morning. So when you see a brother or sister that is doing well, you have to look beyond his accomplishment. You have to look beyond his talents or pedigree. There is something behind it that is amplifying. There's an amplifier behind his success story. It's the mercy of God. If it's just by what you and I do, we won't make it. In fact, we would have fumbled the ball a long time ago and don't stand a chance. But mercy of God is when God looked beyond our faults and saw our needs. So if you're following my theory, that means there are two aspects of the mercy of God. Make sure you get it. I'm taking my time to explain. The first aspect of God's mercy is when God withholds punishment that you and I deserve. We have screwed up. We deserve to be punished. And God said no. Mercy. That's one aspect of mercy. A second, let me give you some example of that, if you, just in case somebody is still wondering what we're talking about. Do you remember Brother Peter, the apostle? In case you don't know it, it was Peter who caught somebody's ears. If you remember, it was Peter who literally betrayed Jesus and denied Jesus. It was Peter who ran away after the going get tough. He said, no, I'm out. I'm going fishing. But the mercy of God found him. Even when Jesus rose from the dead, the first person Jesus asked about is Peter. That's what mercy will do for you. After you've messed up, after you've done everything but a child of God, the mercy of God will still locate you and give you another chance. You miss a good place to say, thank God. You remember a brother by the name Thomas? Thomas was a disciple. He heard Jesus for 3 years. He learned all the mystery of God. And yet Thomas said, no, I don't believe. No, I'm not going to believe nothing until I see the evidence. But ladies and gentlemen, notice what happened. After it's all over, the mercy of God still found Thomas. Thomas did great things for the Lord in the nation of India. So mercy of God is when you've messed up and God still look beyond your fault. There's a second aspect of the mercy of God. And that's when God step in to remove pain, to remove suffering. It's not about you messing up this time. It's that you're going through hard time. And there are some people who are going through some rough time right now. You need to know that the mercy of God can step in and help you out. The mercy of God is not always about when you messed up. It's also about your condition. You remember in the book of St. Mark chapter 10, verse 47, there was a gentleman, blind Bartimaeus. There's no record of him messing up, but he was in bad shape. He couldn't see. He's always begging and all that. But guess what mercy did? When he heard Jesus passing by, notice what he said. Son of David, have what? Mercy. Some of you are not enjoying the mercy of God because you don't even know how to obtain it. You rather have pity parties and be sucking your thumb instead of crying out to God and say, Lord, have mercy. This brother, that was the last day he stayed in blindness. Amen. Again, you see it in Luke chapter 17, verse 13. 10 lepers. They heard about Jesus passing by. And again, they cried out, Jesus, Master, have what? Mercy. Take note of that word. I don't want you to live here today ever. Find yourself struggling in any area of your life. I'm telling you what mercy is, and I will show you how to obtain it so that no devil can oppress you or your children anymore. So whether you screwed up, whether you're like me, you messed up, or whether you just find yourself in a bad situation, not even of your own doing, the mercy of God is available to you. For you to understand this thing called the mercy of God more, because this is a world church, we like for people to understand. There are 4 layers about the mercy of God you need to know. Number one, you need to know the nature of God. What did I call it? Nature. And number two, you need to know the nature of man, you. You need to know your own self. Your nature. And number three, you need to know the protocol to obtain mercy. Because if you don't follow the protocol, you will never see mercy in your life. There are many people who are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. They speak in tongue, but they have no mercy in their life. And finally, you need to know the benefits of mercy in your life. What's the big deal? Why is pastor so much preoccupied that every member of his church to have the mercy of God every day of their life? The Bible says it's new every morning. Wouldn't it be a shame or shameful, that God is giving something out every morning and you don't partake in it? That is why I tell you, the church should not just be a place where you hoop and holler and feel good. It should be a place of serious understanding. That's why Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says, in all your getting, get understanding. Let's talk about the nature of God. What is it about God? What are his attributes? What is his MO? What do we know about the character of God? Whenever you want to know about God, by the way, I want to give you a little secret about theologians like me. When you want to know about God, the Bible says you check four sources to know about God. Number one, you check the Word of God. The Word of God tells you about the nature of God, his person, what you can do to tick him off, his MO, how he rolls. Another source is his name. Those of us who come from third world country, we know names are more than just for ID. Name has meaning. The name of a person can reveal to you a lot about that person. So if you want to know the nature of God, check out his name. Another thing that you consult to know the nature of God is the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, Jesus is the express image of God. So if you really want to know God, just look to Jesus. He talks like God. He acts like God. He is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. That's why the Bible calls him the express image of God. I would not want to deal with anybody that I don't know his nature. I happen to be a businessman, Brother Lavelis. When I want to deal with another businessman, I go research him out. Before I get to him, I already know all about him, his business philosophy. So the conversation is over before we met. And likewise, let me help you pastors. Every now and then I get invited to go preach in a church. Before I show up in that church, I have read so much about the church. I know everything going on. I know about the attendance. I know about the theology. I know about the pastor. I know about the pastor's family. So by the time I showed up, I'm giving free advice to pastors. And let me help those of you who are not pastors. This is free advice to those of you who are New Orleans Saints fans.
All right, don't do too much. Let's not do this. Let's not do this tonight.
Brother Brian, I've been trying my best to help.
Let's not do this.
You don't go and play another team without first watching the tape of the opposing team. Am I right about it? Your record will be better. Oh, Jesus. That is why we are learning about the nature of God. How are you going to obtain mercy from somebody you don't know? Let me give free marriage advice. I'm in good mood this morning. You see, I've been helping everybody. If you're looking for a husband, don't just follow your emotion, your hormones and stuff. You got to do your homework about that person. Check him out. Research his background. Yes, yes, ma'am. Check out his family. It will save you a lot of headache. See, I felt like I already preached.
Yeah, you're preaching for us, Pastor.
My brothers, my sisters, when it comes to God, you check out his name. You check out the word of God. You check out the person of Jesus Christ. And one more source, you look into your own personal experience with God. If God had been a shelter in time of storm, no devil can talk you out of that. We at work, one of the things they said to me, a student, they said, nothing bothered Dr. Darren. It's not because I'm a genius. It's because of my experience with God. I've been homeless. And he brought me out of it. Now I have 9 houses. You cannot talk a person like that out of believing God. I've been sick to the point of death. And look at me, I'm still standing. So your experience, your experience with God let you know who God is. And nobody can talk you out of what you know. When you know that you know that you know that he is food on your table. And nobody can talk you out of that. So, what is the nature of God? What do we know about God? Here's what the Bible says concerning him. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible simply says, God is love. I can park the car right there. Once you know the person you're talking to is love, that ought to affect the way you approach it. The Bible didn't say God has love. The Bible didn't say God shows love. The Bible says God is love. You see, all of you religious people that you're freaking out every time you messed up, oh, God's going to kill me, God's going to get me, because you don't know God. The book of Psalms 145, verse 8 says, the Lord is gracious. The Lord is full of compassion. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is full of mercy. You see the problem with church people? They don't know God. They never understand his nature. They see him as a wicked God. But the Bible says he's love. He's kind. He's long-suffering. He's slow to anger. He is compassionate. He is merciful. You need to know this. You cannot obtain mercy if you don't know who you're dealing with. The book of Exodus, chapter 4, 34, verse 5 and 6, God met Moses for the first time. You know how you meet people for the first time, and the first thing you do, you want to introduce yourself. You want to tell them your name or anything you want them to know about you. I used to work for the state of Louisiana, and part of my job is to recruit new lawyers. I have to hire them. And my first question when they walked in to the room after I checked out how they dress, you know, Because if you're looking for a job and your score is way up here, interview over. Just be honest with you. I'm not going to hire you. I will smile. I'll be courteous. But that interview is over. You have to dress professionally. Then once you're seated, I will ask you, tell me about yourself. That's your opportunity to sell yourself to me. Ladies and gentlemen, when God first met Moses, he introduced himself to Moses in the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verse 5 and 6. Notice what he said about himself. He said, the Lord is what? Merciful. He wants Moses to know who you're dealing with. He went on to say, the Lord is gracious. And the Lord is long-suffering. Make sure it's in your Bible. He said, the Lord has abundance of goodness. And the Lord is truthful. If you ever get to know your God, you would not be playing. Religion is killing you, folks. You begin to see God totally different from who he is. That's why I say, why will you go and play another football team without researching that team? Why will you marry somebody on your first date? Really? Get to know God. You'll be so shocked what a good God we serve. Notice among the list of his name, he is merciful. He is love, all right. He is gracious, all right. He is kind, all right. But on the list of all those names, the Lord your God, my God, is a merciful God. I can stop there and preach because it don't matter what you have done. It don't matter where you've been. It don't matter what anybody said about you. You just remember that God is merciful. It will set you free. Many of you, you're still living in your past. Your past is still tormenting you. You can't even receive the mercy of God because you are consumed with the pain of what you've done, where you've been, what the people said about you. Get to know your God. Let go and let God. Also, you need to know the nature of your own self. What is the nature of man? Because to understand whether or not you need mercy, you need to know you. One of the biggest problems in America today is called identity crisis. You see how relevant the Bible is. I used football game, I use relationship, I use all kinds of to explain so that you know this Bible is not complicated. The number one problem in America is family dysfunction. The second problem is identity crisis. People walking around, they don't know who they are. You'd be surprised how many black folks don't know who they are. Hey, don't turn me off. Glory be to God. David gives you an understanding of who you are as a human being. David lets you and me know that human beings, we are people of weakness. We are weak. He also let us know that human beings are people with limitation. If you can get an understanding of that, then you will see why you need mercy. Because many of you walk around thinking you're all that. I don't need nobody. I don't need to go to church. I don't need no preacher telling me nothing. I did it. Shut up. You don't even know who you are. You're weak. And you're very limited. Brother Pastor, you know this. Look at the book of Psalms 51, verse 2. When David messed up, like you and I have messed up many times, David now comes to God and says, wash me. Wash me from my what? Iniquity. Wash me from my sin. He knows the nature of man. Is there anybody here in the house who has never committed any sin? Please don't raise your hand, because I'm again in the flesh and kick you. I don't like liars around me. Everybody that messed up. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, what is sin? Sin is basically when you disobey God, when you miss the mark. Everybody have missed the mark. Not a single one. I get really frustrated when some church people, they be trying to say, hey, we're born again. We. I say, really? And then some of the old ones, after they messed up all their life and nobody wants you no more, now you want to be holy. These people need to stop tripping, really. Everybody has sinned. The Bible says all of our righteousness, a pile of junk, filthy rag before God. Now, iniquity is worse than sin. Iniquity is when you are continually sinning. You're making a career. You're practicing it. Don't look at your neighbor now. I'm in good mood today. No. I have no bad feeling towards anybody. Just explaining the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to miss the fact that David recognized human nature. We are sinful. Human nature, we are full of iniquities. If you look at Psalms 51, verse 3, David said, I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is forever before me. Verse number 5, Psalms 51, David is telling you your nature, his nature, our nature. He said, look, I was shaped in iniquity. He said, in sin, my mama conceived me. So if I ask you, class, do you really think you need mercy? You better believe it. From the pulpit to the pews. I work very hard in my house. I don't want any of them to think they're all that. We're born again. You're right. I can write a book about your wrongdoing. All of us need help. Amen, somebody. Amen. Who would have thought? David. You all remember David? David was a very good boy. David was called a man after God's heart. David was a worship leader. Like you folks. Who would have thought somebody with that kind of credential before God is the same person that raped a woman? Is the same person that killed somebody? That's to let you know your nature. Any of us, we can mess up. That's why we need mercy. Let me warn you, let me school you. When we talk about mercy, religion has brainwashed church folks to think, if I say, all of you that need mercy, come forward. you will be amazed. Nobody will show up. You know why? Because they've been brainwashed. Religion makes us to think you need mercy only when you messed up. And religion will tell you, oh, I've been a good boy. I have one son in the Lord in Baton Rouge is watching right now. He would tell me, I've been good. I've been a good husband. I said, sir, let me ask your wife. None of us, if you have to judge yourself, you will give yourself the best of grade. We have potential to do wrong. That's why the text today says, it is the mercy of God that you have not been consumed. It is the mercy of God that I'm still standing before you as a pastor. It is the mercy of God that woke you up this morning. The nature of you and me is evil. Your nature, my nature, is sinful. We are full of iniquity. But thank God for grace and mercy. You may be thinking you are right, but the truth be told, you ain't no good. You just need a pastor, a preacher like this that is not scared of you, that will look you in the face and tell you, you're no good. If I am the president of No Good Club, but thank God for grace and mercy. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Amen, somebody. So now, how do you, now that we know we all need mercy, because I see my folks are up. So I've just started myself, but they are up. How do we obtain the mercy of God? Quickly, my student, the mercy of God is not automatic. That's where church folks miss it. And that's why the devil is kicking us around. Because we think, oh, God is a good God. He would just, in fact, we have a saying, oh, Lord, have mercy. I used to be a musician for a church in Baton Rouge, Allen Chapel. And then I went play for Brothers Jimmy Swagger in New Galilee. You know all those people. I was playing for 5 churches. That's how I could pay my school fees, folks. Because I was not entitled to scholarship. As a foreign student. In this church, every Sunday they sing, oh Lord, have mercy. And you look at their life, no mercy. So just because you sing about it, don't mean you will obtain mercy. There is a protocol for mercy. Protocol number one. Brokenness. If you're not broken, you will never obtain mercy. It's a condition precedent. I wish I have time to really walk you through this. Another condition for mercy is that you yourself, you ought to be merciful. Blessed are those that are merciful. For they shall what? Many of you want the mercy of God, but you are mean rattlesnake. Just hateful. Singing in the choir, and you're a player hater. Preaching, standing in the pulpit. Preaching the gospel, and you're full of hate. The mercy of God will never reach you. Your title don't mean nothing. Your position don't mean nothing. God judges the motive of your heart. When are you going to be merciful? People do you wrong, or you hold them by the throat. and you won't let go. You hold them. I got to tell the world what you did to me. And then you wonder why your children are messed up. You wonder why your marriage is in shambles. You wonder why you're working day after day and you have nothing to show for it. We need the mercy of God. Ladies and gentlemen, brokenness is when you realize that you messed up. When you get a chance, read the book of Psalms 51. I'll stop. I promise. Psalms 51, verse 17. The Bible says, only those who are broken and of contrite heart. See what God is looking for? Contrite heart. Brokenness. It qualifies you for mercy of God. It positions you for the mercy of God. God will never despise. God will never refuse any man, any woman who has a broken heart. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, we have religious heart, not a broken heart. You wonder why we are so divided as a nation. We need broken heart. We need contrite heart. We need to show mercy unto others. I got to stop. Everybody stand to your feet. As long as you think you're all right, you would not obtain mercy. The book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 18, says, the Lord is near to them who are of broken spirit. I want to open the door of the church this morning. I wonder how many of us realize that we could use the mercy of God this morning. Problem in a civilized world, we are too busy depending on our ability, depending on our intellect, depending on our skill, and we're missing God every day. Many of us even depend on our position. You'll be surprised. This is the year 2025. You'll be surprised. Some of you come to church every Sunday, you've never been to the altar. Oh, my job is to sing. I sing for the sinners. And your life has been messed up every day. Some of you will say, oh, but I'm the senior pastor. They never ask for mercy of God. They never come to the altar. And yet they serve a God who say, if you deny me before men and women of this world, he said, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. Of what good is my title? Oh, you senior pastor. Oh, you professor. You doctor. Really? All of that will send me straight to hell. If I don't have a broken heart and recognize that I need help, I need the mercy of God. I've messed up many times. And God is a God of a second chance. Another chance for me to get right with him. So that he can have mercy on me and have mercy on my family and have mercy on my children, my children's children, and have mercy on my church and have mercy on the work of my hand. If you're here this morning, want to pray before we leave, find your way to the altar. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZionHill.com, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Under the leadership of Pastor Joshua Jordera on the Hill in Pineville, Louisiana. If you're ever in the area, come and see what's going on at Zion Hill Church Family.
Father God, I come before you today, head bowed and body bent. Lord, I want to thank you that last night my bed didn't become my cooling board. And oh God, I just want to take a minute to tell you thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you kept me when I didn't know how to keep myself, God. And I thank you that you never left me and you've been with me every step of the way. Lord, if nobody else brought a thanksgiving in their hearts, I just want to tell you, much obliged, sir. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for every day that you brought me out. I'm grateful for every moment that you wrapped your loving arms around me. I'm grateful for every time you regulated me and kept me in my right mind. I'm grateful, I'm grateful, I'm grateful. Lord, I'm so grateful right now. I just want to tell you thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for food on my table. Thank you for clothes on my back. Thank you that I got up this morning and I had a roof over my head. I remember how we used to say, I woke up this morning with my mind and it was stayed on Jesus. And Lord, I don't need no rocks crying out in my place. But Lord, you've been so good to me. I cannot tell it all. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for being my way maker. Thank you for being my burden bearer. Please, please, please. Oh, please excuse me while I check off my list. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you for shielding me. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for bringing me. Thank you for lifting me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for raising me up, God. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you've been a way maker. Lord, you've been my rock in the weary land. Lord, you've been my shelter in the time of storm. Lord, you've been my way maker. You've been my rock. You've been my redeemer. You've been my strong tower. You've been my everything. Oh, Lord, I thank you, thank you, thank you. Send your glory that liberates our thinking and reminds us of who we are and whose we are. Send your power that gives evidence of our confidence that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Lord, we thank you in advance that you're sending a fresh wind that's about to sweep through this household, and as a result, bloodline are going to be put back on track. Finances are about to be changed around. Joy is about to be restored. Peace is about to be reinvented. Thank you, Lord God, that the glory cloud is already descending. And as a result, nobody in here is going to leave the same way that they came. I plead, 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 I plead.
plead, I plead, I plead, I plead, I plead, I plead, I plead the blood, 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 the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Make a case against the enemy. Satan, you gotta release us. Satan, you gotta let our families go. You gotta let our children go. You gotta let our minds go. You gotta let our finances go. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. This is just for the real faith walkers. In advance, in advance, in advance of the job, in advance of the new house, in advance of the financial breakthrough, in advance of the healing, in advance of the restoration, in advance of the increase, in advance of the elevation, in advance of the new business, in advance of the new territory, in advance, we release a praise that makes the devil mad. We release a shout out that makes walls fall down. We release a praise. Open your mouth. Sound the war cry. Hey, 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 hey. Oh Lord. Hey, hey,
morning, everybody. Can we stand and give the Lord praise on this morning? I know we celebrated Thanksgiving this week, but is there anybody that's thankful on this Sunday morning? Come on and give God praise if you're thankful just to be alive and just to be able to make it here and you're clothed in your right mind. Somebody make some noise. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're going to start this service off with scripture. It says in Psalms 134, it says, a song of decree. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. And then it goes on to say, lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Somebody just lift your hands and say, God, I lift my hands. And bless the Lord. And the last verse says this, and it's talking to us, church. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. And I want to say, bless thee out of Zion Hill. Amen. Come on and give God some praise and bless the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Clap your hands like this. Everybody clap on it. Everybody clap on it. It's a familiar song, so we want you to sing it with us this morning. Yeah, our song says this. It says welcome into this place. So we lift our hands as we lift our hearts, as we offer up this praise unto your name. Everybody clap, come on. Everybody come on. Y'all help us sing the song. Y'all help. Welcome,
welcome
into this land. God, you welcome here.
Welcome
to this room. You
desire
to abide on in the praises of your people.
Yeah. So we live
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZionHill.com, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Under the leadership of Pastor Joshua Jordera on the Hill in Pineville, Louisiana. If you're ever in the area, come and see what's going on at Zion Hill Church family.
KAYT and KQJOFF. We're five cities strong all day long. Lead it. We've got Louisiana on lock.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZionHill.com, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Under the leadership of Pastor Joshua Jordera on the Hill in Pineville, Louisiana. If you're ever in the area, come and see what's going on at Zion Hill Church family.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best.